You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today, because truth matters. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the show. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I was looking at yesterday's USA Today just a few moments ago, and it suddenly dawned on me the irony of what we have in America, or perhaps more broadly in the West. And the reason this dawned on me is I was looking at a picture of a woman on the front page, her belly exposed, and under the exposed belly, the words, "forced abortions, broken hearts." Social media and the internet have shed rare light on China's brutal enforcement of its one-child policy. Amid global outrage, Beijing might just be listening. And then the article goes on to decry these forced abortions that are taking place in China and how in the West people are outraged that the government would force women, because of their one-child policy, to have abortions. The irony being that while in China the abortions are forced, in America they're free. Well, free in a sense, because the present-day Holocaust in America is government-funded. Put another way, you and I are paying the bill. The graphic language of the article points to the outrage, but an outrage that we should have not only about what's happening in China, but what is happening in our own country. You have a woman, Pan Chunyang, 31 years old, who is injected with chemicals to kill her child. The whole body was black. The skin on the face was peeled when the baby was born. This is a life that had no time to look at this beautiful world with eyes open, is what the husband said. My wife only got a glance at the child, and when she did, her heart broke and she cried loudly. So again, while there's an outrage going on about what's happening in the East with respect to forced abortions, with the emphasis on the word forced, we are having free abortions, and the abortion holocaust continues. We have fetus fatigue, and so we don't really pay much attention to it anymore. I think it was Francis Schaeffer who very correctly said that abortion would be the watershed issue of our era. Of all the subjects relating to the erosion of the sanctity of human life, abortion is the key. And speaking about life, right next to the forced abortions article is a headline on shooting suspect, a mediocre student. And there it talks about the recent movie massacre and James Holmes, the person who allegedly was the perpetrator. And it talks about how he is a quote-unquote budding scientist. And I thought about the irony that no doubt he was taught philosophical naturalism and the evolutionary paradigm in which everything is fatalistically determined anyway. There are no real mores or ethics because everything is determined by brain chemistry and genetics. So in some sense, we have the suicide of our own society, the suicide of Western civilization. And while we as Christians can look at the world aghast, hardly imagining that anyone could think that this is part of civilized society, although you hardly dare speak out against abortion today, while we're looking at all of this taking place in our midst, we need to recognize that there's nothing unusual going on at all. The suicide of our society is a direct result of Christians who are not prepared to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. A culture devolves not because pagans exercise their job description. A culture devolves because Christians aren't exercising their job description. We're called to be salt and light. Unfortunately, we have become a microcosm of the culture rather than change agents in the culture. If you don't think that's true, look at our best and brightest Christian leaders when they are interviewed on national media broadcasts. They have a hard time explaining even the basics of the Christian faith, and certainly are milquetoast when it comes to these great moral issues. Well, I don't want to be a judge of anybody. And so they just flounder around, drag Christ's name through the mud, and demonstrate that Christianity really doesn't have any answers anyway, when in fact Christian values are what shaped Western civilization, from jurisprudence to ethics, from science to morals. It was the DNA of a biblical worldview that gave rise to the greatest civilization in the history of the world, a civilization now dying, and we're kind of blind to all of it. We think that somehow or other our best days are ahead. Unless Christians rise up, those best days are not ahead. The best days are not going to come as a result of Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. They're going to come as a result of Christians always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. A lot of you hanging on will go right to the phone calls. First up is Ron. He's listening in Miami, Florida on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Hank. God bless you. And, you know, what you're doing is, of course, what we all have to do, and we have to learn how to stand up for the truth like that every single chance we get. And we may not be able to save the world, but we can at least influence the part around us. So thanks for your example. I just wanted to ask you what you were saying about abortion and about our tax money funding it. This was Barack Obama's first act on his first day in the presidency, was to restore that funding to abortions all over the world. So we have to pay our taxes, and if we don't, we'll most likely go to jail. While we know that some of that tax money, albeit a small amount, but still some, is going to fund these abortions. So where do we draw the line here as far as give to Caesar what is Caesar's? And I'll take your answer. I'll hang up the phone and take your answer.
Yeah, it's a very good question. I think that we have to do everything that is permissible, and the operative word is permissible, to make changes. The first thing that we have to do is recognize that we can legislate morality. If you can't legislate morality, pray tell, what can you legislate? So therefore, we have to be involved in the political process, making the best of all possible decisions, because we are given the right to vote. So though we have the lesser of two evils proposition facing us and the general election that's coming up, we still have to make a wise and prudent choice, taking into consideration all converging factors. And to the best of our ability, we need to vote in such a way that our vote is pleasing to the Lord. I can't tell anybody how to vote, but I can tell you that you should vote with diligence and forethought and prudence. But beyond that, we have to recognize that while legislation is important, it is equally important to recognize that the way in which a culture is transformed is when lives are transformed, which is to say, if we are salt and light, then we have an opportunity to rescue a culture. If we are not, we become simply microcosms of that culture. The culture can be transformed. We look at our culture and say, the depth to which this culture has sunk seems irredeemable. But such is clearly not the case. If you look at what happened in the Roman Empire, an empire in which you could take a baby girl and allow that girl to expire at the feet of a statue of a man of whom the Christians were supposed to say, just like the world, Caesar is Lord. You see the degradation of a culture far greater than our culture has sunk to at present, although we're well on our way. And yet in that culture, Christians turned an empire upside down. It wasn't because they had money or influence or political clout. They did not. It was because every believer was a witness. It wasn't as though they were waiting for the hired guns to do the work of ministry. No, they recognized that they were not only supposed to be involved on the Lord's Day on prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word and a demonstration of oneness, not only through the sacraments, but also through a visible manifestation of love for one another, such that the world looked in and said, see how they love one another, and the love of Christ constrained them to come. But it was also because they were equipped to go out and communicate the reality of resurrection. I think we, in our culture, we talk about resurrection, but all too few Christians really believe in resurrection. We say we do, but there's a difference between saying you do and really believing in resurrection. Because if we really believed in resurrection, we wouldn't be pablum in the media. We would be change agents, sharp tools in the hands of the Holy Spirit in witness. But unfortunately, most of us cannot even read the Bible we profess to believe in accurately. And as a result, we can't give an answer to Barack Obama when he says that the Bible teaches slavery or eating shellfish is an abomination. Or the ridiculous eschatological views of Mitt Romney, who believes that Jesus Christ is going to come back and reign from Independence, Missouri. It's high time that we change this woeful circumstance. And again, it means that Christians use their time, their talent, and their treasure to make a difference while there is yet time. Quite frankly, it's one of the reasons we ask people to support this ministry. I'm good at shooting our ministry in the foot, as it were, because I'm not politically correct, and I don't say the kinds of things that cause a ministry to prosper. In fact, quite often what I say causes people to withdraw their resources. But I've often said to our staff, and I certainly believe this with all my heart, if I simply become politically correct and strive for just popularity, there's no need for me to do what I'm doing. And I fear that when I stand before God, and have to give an account for what I did as a Christian leader. Well, quite frankly, maybe the repetition of the word fear is all that needs to be said at this point. I fear what it would be like to stand before God to give an account and say, well, yeah, but I had to, because if I didn't say the politically correct right thing, people would pull their funding. At the end of the day, this is not a popularity contest, but we do ask people that really care about the truth to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. I'm bringing a big issue to your attention right now with God on our side. It's a DVD. It's a must watch. It's not politically correct, but it's very important watching, particularly with the kind of racism that is being not only manifested in the Holy Land, but it's been spurred on, unfortunately, by Christian leaders. Again, With God on Our Side is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And by the way, tomorrow right here on the broadcast, we're going to have an encore presentation of an interview I did with Gary Burge. If you've heard it before, you want to hear it again. If you haven't heard it, you don't want to miss it.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies? The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, or become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or, as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man returns after this short break. Don't touch that dial. If America required people of African descent to leave the country to make way for people of European ancestry, would we rightly be condemned as a nation that promoted racism and apartheid? If any of our fellow Christians attempted to justify those actions with Scripture, you and I would have a duty to protest. But in Israel today, Christian Zionists defend ethnic cleansing. The displacement of Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, to make room for Jews as a divine command. Learn more about this matter of eternal significance on the compelling DVD With God on Our Side, our gift to you in appreciation for your gift of any amount. With theologians and Palestinian Christians, explore the issue and decide in your own heart. Please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org and request your copy of With God on Our Side. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In separate articles, Hank Hanegraaff and Steve Gregg make sense of Ezekiel's difficult temple vision. Other topics include, is legislating morality biblical? Did Jesus and Paul preach two different gospels? Are evangelicals really at war with science? An exploration of how Jack Kerouac shaped the life script of today's millennial generation. a summary critique of Mark and Grace Driscoll's controversial book, Real Marriage, The Truth About Sex, Friendship, and Life Together, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe to the journal online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Leading Christian Zionist Michael Evans considers Palestinians a tainted and brainwashed people and contends that Palestine belongs exclusively to those who are racially and religiously Jewish. How do we respond knowing some of the people Evans denounces are our brothers and sisters in Christ? Hear the stories of Palestinian Christians firsthand on the eye-popping DVD With God on Our Side. It's our thank you for your support gift of any amount today so we can continue sharing the truths you need to hear. To give, just call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Terry listening in Arcadia, Wisconsin, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Terry.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Hey, I don't want to get off topic, but I had a question about salvation and pornography, and I suffer from pornography. I'm sure I'm not the only male caller you ever had that has spoke to you about it, but I guess my question is, I backslide sometimes. I always ask God to forgive me, and I can go months without looking at anything or, you know, but I backslide. I ask God to forgive me, and, you know, I try to go on and do the best I can. And I listened to one gentleman before your show, and he was saying that sometimes, you know, God had just turned you over to your sin, you know, and I don't understand the meaning of that, you know. I guess what I'm trying to get at is, does God ever get tired of you constantly coming and asking for forgiveness, you know, and I don't know, and I believe in God with all my heart, and I'm trying to do the right thing, and I know in the Bible it says that, you know, God has healed the sick, he's healed the deaf, he healed the blind, and I ask God, you know, can you just allow me to wake up and not even think about any of this stuff anymore? And I think I'm looking for an answer overnight, and I don't know, Hank.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Terry, a couple of things that I would say to you about all of this. First of all, what a wonderful thing to hear that you are asking God for forgiveness. John says in his first epistle that if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just. He will forgive you of your sin, and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But I think it's important that you take very practical steps and don't try to solve this by yourself. Oftentimes, this kind of a behavior, which ties you up like cords would physically bind a person, this kind of behavior needs an accountability group, needs people who can stand with you through the process. And it's one of the reasons that I have so often recommended the game plan by Joe Dallas. It's called the Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. And it does give you a really good system whereby you can deal with the perversion and help you over it in as I say, a systematic way. So I think it's important that you take measured steps so that you don't keep falling into the same sin. But is God tired of you asking for forgiveness when you ask for forgiveness with a sincere heart? Of course not. He is ready to forgive you. And all of us recognize that we are sinners in small and large ways. Even the Apostle Paul said, "Oh, what a wretched man I am. The good that I do, would, I don't do. The evil that I would not, I do. Who can save me from this body of death?" So even the great Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, struggled with sin and its powerful lure. So again, you can't use that as a cop-out, but you can recognize how important it is to have a game plan. In anything in life, if you want to be successful, you have to have a game plan. And I'm particularly excited about Joe Dallas having written this book. In fact, I encouraged him to write this book and endorsed this book because I thought that there's probably no one on the planet that knows how to deal with this subject better than Joe Dallas. And so, again, I recommend that to you highly as a step that you can take in the right direction.
All righty. Okay. Yeah, like I say, Hank, I worry about it, and I see billboards, you know, that say about Christ, you know, I knew you before I formed you in the womb, and I think about, you know, I'm 48 years old, and did God know, you know, that I'm going to suffer from this? And, you know, I don't know. And
well, there's a ready answer to that, though, Terry. I mean, look, before I had my children, I knew that they would struggle, that they would suffer, and that eventually they would die. And yet I chose to have children. God knew that you would sin and that you would struggle, and yet God chose to form you in the womb. Your life is not fatalistically determined because God knew what you would do. The fact that God knows doesn't mean that God is the causal agent. And that's why I'm highly recommending that you take positive steps to do something about your particular addiction. Fair enough?
I appreciate it, Hank.
You got it. And don't be discouraged.
Okay.
It's very encouraging that you are confessing your sin, that you're not hardened to your sin, and do not think that the Lord doesn't love you. He does.
Well, I think that's a lot of my problem too, Hank, because I know the Lord can forgive me, but for some of the things I've done in my life, I can't seem to forgive myself or allow myself to forgive myself for what I've done, you know, and I think that's a lot of my problem, too, and I really appreciate your help, and I'll look into Joe Dallas's book and read that, and hopefully it'll help me understand what I'm dealing with here, so...
Well, and we'll be thinking about you and praying for you. And as I wrote on the back of this book, no one understands the subject better than Joe Dallas, and nowhere is there a more biblical and user-friendly game plan for Christian men committed to reclaiming moral purity, a resource no man should be without. And again, you can find this book on the World Wide Web, equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jim next, Liberty, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Hank. I've got a question along the same lines as that, gentlemen. I committed a sin. I viewed pornography on a work computer, and now I have confessed that to my boss and to my wife, and I'm through that part, and I know that I'm forgiven, but I'm wondering if it is a sin to pray for leniency or deliverance from the consequences. I'm waiting to hear what my employer intends to do.
No, it's not a sin at all. I mean, the great quintessential king of Israel asked for mercy. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression. So no, there's nothing wrong with praying that God would show you mercy in this circumstance. I think it's a perfectly legitimate prayer, and were I in the same circumstance as you were, I would pray that prayer and probably recite Psalm 51 over and over again as my way of making this prayer to the Lord.
Great. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Bob next. He's listening in Howell, Michigan, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hank. I really appreciate you and your ministry, and I pray for you often. I just want you to know that.
Bless you. Thank you.
My question is based around forgiveness and letting go and bad thoughts traveling through your mind. Recently, I discovered I didn't forgive somebody for something that happened a long time ago. I forgave them. I was at peace about it. And since then, I've grabbed on to bits and pieces of the situation, taking them back in and letting them roll through my mind, letting my imagination go nuts, and quite frankly, struggling. So I question, well, did I ever forgive this person in the first place, or how do I keep these thoughts out of my head?
Yeah.
I think the obvious is leaving it at Jesus' feet, sure, but I thought I'd check with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult thing, isn't it? We are human beings, and we're subject to all the foibles of the human nature. And so sometimes we say we forgive, but in our heart we still hold a grudge. And that is the human condition. And I think what we have to do is, as you say, take it to the Lord, put it on the altar, and say, Lord, I am willing to forgive. Help me in my weakness. And really, the operative word in all of this is willing. We have to be willing to forgive. Just as when we're repenting, we say, Lord, I am repenting of my sin, but that does not mean that immediately every room of our home, so to speak, is swept out and clean. No, we still struggle with all the besetting sins that are common to humanity and recognize that God understands all of that and that He is gracious and merciful, and in His love and compassion, He forgives us. So the real issue is a willingness to forgive, and I think you've ably demonstrated that willingness just in the prologue to your question.
One more quick thing. In James, you know how he talks about the thinking good thoughts, not thinking bad thoughts. Does that passage have anything to do? Am I just thinking bad thoughts too much? Am I not thinking about God enough?
Well, it may be. I mean, I think one of the things that's really important as a believer is that we focus our minds on those things which are pure and holy and righteous and just and honorable. So we have to think about those things and forget the other that so often replace the good in our life. And the way that you do that is not through some magic potion. The way that you do that is by learning to put on the full armor of God. It's by exercising the spiritual disciplines. So we can think about, boy, I'd like to be Tiger Woods, but you can't become Tiger Woods by simply, you know, donning a Nike swoosh or droning the Nike just do it mantra. The only way you're going to be like Tiger Woods, if you had the talent, would be to hit thousands of golf balls and really commit yourself to the process that he's committed to in terms of hitting a golf ball in the sweet spot. But the kind of discipline that he's exercising in that particular venue, we have to do the same thing as Christians. If we want to be Christians or like Christ, we have to exercise the very disciplines that Jesus Christ manifested in his earthly sojourn. And when we do that, then our heart is set on things above as opposed to being set on things below. So again, it's all a matter of discipline. Again, that's one of the reasons I wrote my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. If we put on the full armor of God, as we're taught to in Scripture, if we put that on every day, we're invincible in spiritual warfare. If we do not, we're guaranteed casualties. We are coming to station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And in the meantime, do remember this ministry is supported wholly by listeners just like you. If you can support us this month financially, it would be deeply appreciated.
Does God have a salvation plan for the Jews that doesn't involve Christ? Megachurch pastor and founder of Christians United for Israel, John Hagee, says, quote, "Let us put an end to this Christian chatter that all the Jews are lost and can't be in the will of God until they convert to Christianity."
For many Christian Zionists, there's no need to evangelize the Jews and every need to ensure Israel's complete control of the land boundaries defined in the Bible. But are they right biblically? Gain new insight on this tough and controversial question. Request your copy of the Revealing DVD with God on Our Side as our thank you when you support CRI with a gift of any amount today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. If America required people of African descent to leave the country to make way for people of European ancestry, would we rightly be condemned as a nation that promoted racism and apartheid? If any of our fellow Christians attempted to justify those actions with Scripture, you and I would have a duty to protest. But in Israel today, Christian Zionists defend ethnic cleansing. The displacement of Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, to make room for Jews as a divine command. Learn more about this matter of eternal significance on the compelling DVD With God on Our Side, our gift to you in appreciation for your gift of any amount. With theologians and Palestinian Christians, explore the issue and decide in your own heart. Please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org and request your copy of With God on Our Side. With Mitt Romney, the uncontested Republican candidate for president, the religious standing of Mormonism has become a national conversation. Mormons are exploiting the discussion to promote public acceptance of their faith as Christian. But Christians can use it to further clarify the critical differences between the two faiths. Learn how to discern between truth and error with the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe online today at equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Well, let's return now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Also a cover story in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal is Legislating Morality Biblical, an important article. Again, the Christian Research Journal is a subscription magazine. You can subscribe online at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Hugh in Columbia, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Hugh.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I called the other day, and I guess I didn't clarify myself correctly. I was wondering, I read your book on creation, and I was wondering why the 6 24-hour days is not viewed correctly, because, I mean, I don't know how much clearer God could have made it that it is 6 24-hour days, and to start the Bible off as an error just doesn't seem the way God would do something.
Well, I agree, and that's one of the reasons I have a problem with young earth creationists who suggest that God employed non-solar light to govern the days until he created the sun, moon, and stars on day four, because the biblical text quite literally says there was evening and there was morning, indicating that the first 3 days of creation were normal solar days encompassing daylight and darkness. So I quite agree with the point that you have made, and that's the point I make in my book, The Creation Answer Book, as well.
What's that?
That's the very point I make in my Creation Answer Book as well.
What's that?
Well, the point that I just made, which is that young earth creationists suggest that God employed non-solar light to govern the days until he created light from the sun, moon, and stars on day four. And yet the biblical text quite literally says there was evening and there was morning, and thus the text indicates that the first 3 days of creation were normal solar days encompassing daylight and darkness. And as I just said a moment ago, I made that point in my book, my new book, The Creation Answer Book.
Well, that's true, but on day one, he created light. I think it's the second verse of Genesis 1. It says that he created light.
Right, but it's not non-solar light.
Well,
because the language, if you take the language literally,
in my understanding, because it's not my point to say, God, you didn't do this right, or because at some point.
Right. Well, I want to take the text literally. You evidently don't, and that's the difference.
Either he did do it in 6 24-hour days, which is, you know, a plain reading of the Bible, or we say, you know, you're wrong in Exodus 19, where it talks about 6 days of creation. That would be wrong, too. And in Matthew 19, where Christ talks about mankind being created at the beginning of creation, that would be wrong also.
No, it's not wrong at all. And I think, again, I want to take the text literally. Evidently, you don't. And I think that's the difference. Again, you're talking about the light as though it's non-solar light on the first 3 days, but the text quite literally indicates that the first 3 days of creation were normal solar days encompassing daylight and darkness. So I want to take that at face value. But the difference is that for me, I don't think it is necessary to suppose that this gives you a chronology of creation. Rather, I think what is important here is that we remember God's creative prowess during the normal cycle of our weekly living. We want to impress it on our children. We want to talk about it when we walk by the wayside in the home. We want to bind the information on our fingers, in our forehead, as it were, metaphorically, of course. And we want to write it on our doorposts, on our door frames, on our gates. We want to never forget that God is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. And by the way, also remember that Moses was a master at mnemonics, not only at literary construction in general, but mnemonics. And therefore, he laid out the whole of Genesis in such a way that you could remember it with the 10 fingers of your hands. But again, I'm taking the Bible at face value quite literally. I'm saying that the first 3 days were solar days, whereas the young earth creationist says, no, this was non-solar light. And I simply beg to disagree agreeably. It's one of those things we can debate vigorously. We don't need to divide over. I've written about the whole issue of timing in the Creation Answer book. I know it's controversial, but I've dealt with it, and I think I've done so in such a way that no essential, the historic Christian faith, is compromised, but beyond that, a way that makes the Bible read in the sense in which it's intended and also forces us to look quite carefully at general revelation as well. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jim in West Spring, I think it's Illinois, listening on the web. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Great. Hey, Attica, by the way, I'm a first-time caller and a long-time listener, and I recently took out my subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Really enjoying that, so thank you for that.
Wonderful.
Two questions, Hank. One, I once heard J. Vernon McGee say that he wasn't sure whether or not we would have any kind of relation with Father God in eternity. He did state that, you know, of course, that's probably something that we all believe, that Jesus would be there in his glorified humanity, and then we would always have a relationship with him. But he wasn't certain that we would have any kind of relationship with God the Father throughout eternity. I just wondered what you thought of that.
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I hopefully he didn't say that. You misheard him. But, of course, we will spend an eternity getting to know the one who not only created the universe, the one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct, but we will forever explore the glories and grandeur of his created handiwork. But to suggest that we will not develop an ever more near and dear relationship with one person of the Trinity, the Father, in this case, simply, it's mind-boggling that anyone would say such a thing, and I can hardly imagine someone like Vernon McGee saying it. So hopefully you misheard him.
Well, I guess that's possible. I thought I heard him pretty clearly, but I may go back and research that for myself. But secondly, do you think that racial and ethnic differences will be noticeable in heaven? In other words, you know, will we recognize a person as an Asian or Caucasian or whatever?
Well, I think that the DNA that makes me me, and the DNA that makes an Asian, and the DNA that makes a that DNA is going to flourish to complete perfection in eternity. But we don't think about this as race. You know, the only way race is used in the strictest sense of the word in the Bible is to run the race. So we'll have a racist, perhaps, in terms of running the race. I hope not, because I'm pretty slow. But in terms of races, I mean, we have different blueprints, so to speak, but we're all human beings. So Christians don't think in terms of race. Race is really something that comes out of the evolutionary paradigm, where you have a gradation of races or the struggle for survival among the races. But this is not a Christian idea at all. Christians just see human beings as human beings, and you know, some people have blue eyes and some people have brown eyes. Some people have more pigmentation than other people, but we're just all people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Hank. Well, thanks a lot.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Pam in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Pam.
Hank?
Hi.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. This morning, my children and I were studying God's Word and praying, and my 14-year-old asked a question I couldn't answer. So I suggested that this evening we would call the Bible Answer Man. And his question is, if a Christian was responsible to administer the injection that would take the life of someone on death row, would he or she, the executioner, be guilty of murder in the eyes of God?
No, not at all, because there's a difference between murder and killing. There is such a thing as justified killing. For example, if your husband had to protect you and your children against a murderous aggressor, he would be right in doing so. If we in war against Nazi Germany kill people in wartime, we're justified in doing that. If a policeman kills someone in the line of duty, he's justified in doing so. So there is a difference, again, between killing and murder. To murder a person who is made in the image of God is not only to show contempt for the apex of God's creation, but also to show contempt for the Creator himself. So capital punishment is perfectly consistent with a biblical worldview, whereas murder is not.
Okay. All right, that makes sense to me. Okay, that's fantastic. That really clarifies a lot. I'll make sure that I explain that to my children.
Wonderful, and I'm glad you're having these kinds of conversations.
Yes, yes, we sure are, and we sure enjoy your show. Thank you so much for providing a lot of answers to our questions.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much. And a couple of times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast today, I've mentioned resources. One, the Creation Answer Book. Let me mention that for your gift of $100 or more, I'll be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the Creation Answer Book to you, a family member, or to a friend. Also, when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'll send you the Creation Answer Book personalized. The same thing holds true with the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is also a resource that you can find on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I'd be pleased to personalize a copy of that to you, a family member or friend, for your gift of $100 or more. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we cannot do what we do. We need your support. Please stand with us prayerfully and financially. Also, as I've mentioned a few times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast today, With God on Our Side is a DVD that is a must watch. It is my duty as president of the Christian Research Institute to help you discern the big issues, whether politically correct or not. And I felt strongly called of the Lord, led of the Lord, to get this very important resource into your hands as soon as possible. With God on Our Side, it's a DVD that addresses the very real specter of racial discrimination in the Holy Land. For your gift, I'll send you a copy. And don't forget, on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I'm going to be taking head-on the issue in an interview with Gary Burge, the issue that's discussed with God on Our Side. Gary Burge contributed to With God on Our Side, an encore presentation of my interview with Gary Burge, again coming up on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. For everybody hanging on right now, I'll get to your call in just a few moments. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. For those that want their question answered in the next hour, dial this number right now, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll continue answering calls for another hour.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. If America required people of African descent to leave the country to make way for people of European ancestry, would we rightly be condemned as a nation that promoted racism and apartheid? If any of our fellow Christians attempted to justify those actions with Scripture, you and I would have a duty to protest. But in Israel today, Christian Zionists defend ethnic cleansing. The displacement of Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, to make room for Jews as a divine command. Learn more about this matter of eternal significance on the compelling DVD, With God on Our Side. Our gift to you in appreciation for your gift of any amount. With theologians and Palestinian Christians, explore the issue and decide in your own heart. Please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org and request your copy of With God on Our Side. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Whether your politics are on the right, the left, or somewhere in between, there is a more fundamental question to answer before deciding how to vote. Are Christians called to use the political process to enshrine biblical morality into law? Is legislating morality biblical? Other topics include Jehovah's Witnesses and John 1:1. New evidence advances the discussion. Mormonism, Christian, cult, or what? The Bibliographical Test Update, and in the popular Ask Hank column, Hank Hanegraaff answers the question, what's the key to interpreting Ezekiel's prophecies? Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org.